Hello. There we go. Lord, I just pray that I can just empty my mind of all the details of this life and be filled with your spirit and submit to your thoughts and your leading. And just pray that you just bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what did David say when he stepped down? Something like, let's continue in that worship as we prepare for the word. Your hidden glory in creation was one of the little thoughts there. Your hidden glory in creation. And we don't think about that. It's hidden, but yes, it's manifest. Creation reveals the glory of God. Right? The stars speak day unto day. Their line has gone out, and there's not a language that's hidden from their voice. They're speaking and they're revealing the glory of God. But are people listening? Can they get the revealed glory of God through the creation? Your hidden glory in creation. It's hidden. Who's it hidden to? The flesh. Like people that are not submitted to the Spirit, like they see the beauty and they see it, but they don't see the glory of God in it. And but it's there and it can be revealed to us. This is it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Think about the wise men during Daniel's time. You know, they were searching it out, but then they met Daniel. They met the Jews who loved God, and they were like, wow, creation does reveal the glory of God. I was looking at all the math behind it and just the awesomeness of it all, but now I'm looking at God. And when the nativity star came, they followed it. They just left all behind and followed it. And Revelation 1:5-6 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But made us kings. So it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. We have glory in searching out God's word. And searching out spiritual things, his revelation and creation being one of them. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're royal. We're kings. And there's glory in searching out the things that God has. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So like you have us searching, but we have to search in such a way that he reveals it. You know, there are many people searching in their own strength, and we do that too sometimes. We search in our own strength, but like when we're searching with an expectation that he will show us, he'll reveal it to us. And kind of like a parent. I don't know if you've ever seen a parent with an Easter egg hunt with little kids, you know? They're like, look over near the tree a little bit, you know? It's like they want the kid to find it, you know, but they take pleasure in the kid looking. And sometimes like valuable things, like they take a lot of digging and searching. Like think of like gold, silver, and precious stones, which in 1 Corinthians 3 are rewards for us. But where are gold, silver, and precious stones normally found? You got to look for them. You got to search. You got to dig. You got to, you know, if it's really valuable, it's worth the effort. That's why the gold rush happened, right? And you can't find things in the dark very easy either, right? You can't find your way. A path, if you're ever wandering around half asleep at camp looking for the path to the bathroom, it's nice to have a flashlight. It really is. Or, you know, if one time we went hiking in Virginia Beach to this place. It's like, it's got Spanish moss in Virginia Beach, believe it or not. Anyway, we're way out on this point, and we didn't keep track of time, of course. It got dark, and we had our border collie that would run about 20, 30 feet ahead of us with his big, fluffy white tail. As it's getting dark, we're just following that tail. But his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119:105. It's revealing where the path is. It's revealing this to us, how to walk. And without him, we need to search relying on him, not our own strength. Psalm 91:1-2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. A few weeks ago, or maybe last week, I don't know, we sang a song. In the secret, in the quiet place, I want to know you. I want to know you more. You know, like, there's a place that we dwell, and like we know him more. And in this place, there's a protection. It says, he's my refuge, my fortress. I will trust in him. He'll give his angels charge over you and will tread on a lion and a cobra. And Satan walks about and we tread on him. You know, he walks about seeking whom he may devour, and we're walking about treading on him. Like, that's an amazing thought. In the secret place, in the spiritual realm. And we have a secret place in God we can go to. Psalm 119:114. You are my hiding place. In 32:7, I don't know if anybody remember that old song. There's a song, you are my hiding place. It's like, and he is our hiding place. He's our hiding place. And it says, Selah. Think on this. Like, pause for a minute and think about that. He preserves us. We're surrounded by songs. I was thinking about, like, we're surrounded by songs of deliverance. Like, whose songs? Are they our songs? Are they other believers' songs? Are they angels, angelic songs? Like, probably, yeah, all of them, yeah, in different times. Like, God surrounds us with songs of deliverance. And and there is an enemy. There's an enemy. And he delivers us. And he gives us these songs. And there's a hiding place we can go to. It's the finished work of God. Like, that he did it. Hebrews 7:25, he continually makes intercession for us. Like, he is there. And it's a fact that we're hidden in him, and Satan can't touch us if he can't find us. I don't know how that bottom one got up there already. Don't read that. No. Maybe you're supposed to read them together. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So it's a fact that I'm dead and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Because the word says it. Who's dead? Which life? The old man is dead. And the new man that's born again. My new life. So the whole verse, to put it in a little bit bigger context, if you were raised with Christ, and you were, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. There's a lot of things on the earth we can set our minds on. And for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And we need to remind ourselves of facts. There's a fact. We're dead. We've been crucified with Christ. We're a new man, and we're hidden with Christ in God. So where's our new life? in Christ. Ephesians 2:4-6. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this seating, it's also we're hidden in Christ and God, but the seating, sitting together in Christ, it's a place of rest. It's a place of rest. There are songs of deliverance. We're hidden, you know, it's like we're safe and we can rest, and there's not striving. We just relax. We need to like quit being anxious. We have to deal with details, but we don't have to be consumed with them. You know, we get our strength from the Lord. And of all this, baptism is a reflection of it too. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And in 6:1, I'm saying this to kind of lead you in the progression of where we're going to this verse. Just 6:1, it says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. And then Romans 6:3-8, which is this bottom part, I'll read it. Or do you not know that as many as us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized? That's immersed. That word means immersed into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who has died has been freed from sin. We're free. We're free. And it's a fact. Like, reckon on it. Like, your old man will tell you, you're not free. Look at you. You're a slave. The word says we're free. And you are. And Galatians 2:20 is a fact that you can reckon on. When I worked in the shipyard, this guy had the verse, Galatians, just the reference on the back of his shirt. And I was like, what's that verse? And I mean, I knew the Lord, and I probably heard the verse in sermons, but it never really click. He's like, what? You don't know Galatians 2:20 by heart in the reference? It's my favorite verse in the world. And da-da-da-da. And so then I really, when I hear somebody saying that, I kind of pay a little bit more attention to it, you know. And it really is. It's got so much depth to it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And like, the word reckon is like from accounting. You count. You got 10 beans. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You count. These guys are doing lots of reckoning lately. They're counting a lot of stuff. They have calculators, but we use the biblical calculator, the biblical counting method, and if it says it's a receipt, it says it's a done deal, we count it. And we're counting it. But if you want to experience it, you have to run to your hiding place. And so, why can we reckon on that? Because we're so good? No. Or because of what we have done? No. Because of what he did. Because of what he did. And sometimes, remember these bracelets when they were real famous? What would Jesus do? Sometimes we ask, what would Jesus do? But I think more often we need to be asking, what did Jesus do? You know, because what would Jesus do, and now I need to do it, is the focus on me. It's the focus on my works. What did Jesus do is the focus on him. And then any works that come, they're an overflow on what he did. And like, he already did all the work, all the spiritual work. It's what did Jesus do? And there's nothing wrong with asking what would Jesus do either, but I'm just saying the focus should be on what did Jesus do to find out what would Jesus do. What did Jesus do? And I was going to put a picture of a cross with Jesus on it, you know, to show what Jesus did. But he's not still on the cross, right? Like, we were, any people that wear crosses, like, they normally, Jesus isn't still on the cross. You know, some people do, but they don't realize that he's risen, you know. And or maybe they do, but they focus on the death and not the resurrection. And the cross, to me, represents it all. And so what did Jesus do? Well, he was born. That's celebration of Christmas, the whole thing. He came. He actually loved us so much to come. He was born as a human. He didn't have to do that. He died for us. He was crucified. He paid it all. And he was buried. And there's other things that happened, but one of the things that happened is, like, we, like, with this verse about baptism and all it's talking about, we were buried with him. And we died with him. And he rose again. Let's not forget that. He rose again and conquered and has victory. And then he rested. He rested. And he wants us to rest with him in his work. In his work. And he did it for me. He did all that for me. And he's waiting. And he's coming again. And then verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God. And as you reckon on these facts, you have to give credit to God's grace. It's all him. In our flesh, we say, new man? And we also say, new man? Right? But like, in the spirit, we say, I am a new man. And we say, you're a new man. We do that in the spirit. And so Romans 6, 11 to 14, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It wants to be king. Do not let sin reign. It wants to rule. That you should obey it in its lust. It wants you to obey. Interesting word. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, which we are because we've been crucified with Christ and we've risen again. And your members, our bodies haven't, but spiritually, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. This is not a license for you to sin. If you read the context of the verse, it's not. But it is a license for you to rebound from sin. Right? You think about that. Anytime you fall into sin, Satan says you can't get up. You must obey. I'm the king. But here's a license for you to get up. Here's a license for you to walk with God. Here's a license for you to rebound. Sin wants to have dominion over you. It wants to rule you. It wants you to obey. But we reckon not. We're alive from the dead. How do we enter into the hiding place? We're in the hiding place. We've died. We just reckon it. We count it. And do you want to experience it? Do you want to experience the freedom, being alive from the dead and not being having sin rule over you? Do you want to experience it? Yeah. And so you reckon it by faith, and you'll experience it. Here's an interesting story. Pastor, I think it was Pastor Moses. this old black guy up in Brooklyn. Very simple messages, but like super deep. I mean, he would just say the simplest things and they were just profound. The Holy Spirit was speaking through him, you know. And he said, so if you're a bum and someone writes you a check for $2,000, that's grace. And if you receive it and you go to the bank and cash it, that's faith. But if you take the money and you go on a shopping trip, that's experiencing grace. So if you want to experience it, receive it by faith and go shopping. You know? And often there's a hidden seed buried in the ground of somebody's heart. You know, the word's like a seed, and it wants to sprout. Sometimes it's salvation. We go out bearing seed for sowing, and we'll doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. That's what it says, Psalm 126. And so there's a seed. Sometimes it's salvation. We sow the word. But then also, Jesus said to his disciples, take heed how you hear. So it's like people that have already received Christ, we can receive more seeds, the word, in our lives, and it's buried in our heart. Like you put a seed in the ground, you go to sleep, you don't know what's going to happen, and then you wake up, yeah, plant. It came up. It grew. And sometimes it grows, it's an expression of Christ in the new man. It just pops up. And like you yourself or other people might be like, where'd that come from? The word was planted. The word was planted and it's coming up. And maybe someone is walking in the spirit and operating in their spiritual gift. And you're like, where'd that come from? Well, the word was planted. It's coming up. And maybe God's going to raise somebody up. We don't know who God will raise up. Remember King David, little King David, all his nice brothers, everybody thought, can't be him. He's just little David out in the sheep field watching sheep. But God had him, and the seed was planted. And when the time was ready, God raised him up. He like hides people sometimes for the appointed time, for a time later, and the seed's growing. So this hidden aspect, 2 Kings 11. Where'd those other things come from? Didn't show that on my computer when I... But 2 Kings 11 talks about this Queen Athaliah who destroyed all the royal heirs and made herself queen. And little Joash, his nurse, they hid him and his nurse. And they hid him in the house of the Lord. They hid Joash. He was a baby. And when Joash became 7 years old, Jehoiada the priest, he got the warriors together. And then they brought Joash out. They put a crown on him. They anointed him and they yelled, long live the king. And Athaliah yelled, treason, treason. And so think of that. She's not the rightful heir. She's tried to kill off all the rightful heirs. And now the rightful heir has come up, was hidden, and is coming up. And she's yelling treason. And doesn't that kind of remind you of Satan? Like, he thinks he killed Christ. And Christ is raised up. And Satan wants to control our lives. And is yelling treason. I am the queen. Obey. You must obey. But our new man is here in its rightful place. Even though he might only be 7 years old. He's a king in his rightful place. And we're kings and priests. And Moses was hidden too. Moses, Hebrews 11:23, it says, by faith, when he was born, his parents hid him for 3 months. And also, was it Pua and anyway, the two midwives, I forget their names, but they didn't kill him when he came out either, right? By faith. So they hid Moses, and then he was also hidden in a basket in the reeds. So that, and then you think of the spies with Rahab. They're spying out Jericho, surrounded by enemies, and God uses a prostitute to hide them from the enemies. Like, it's amazing. And he hid them for victory on another day. They were going to come back. And they came back, and they saved her. And then, you know, Jesus was hidden. Remember when the wise men came and Herod wanted to kill all the babies under 2 years old? And then Joseph, did he have a dream or a vision? Anyway, he took Jesus and Mary to Egypt. And then God sent the wise men another way. An angel came to the wise men and said, don't go back to Jerusalem, go another way. So they didn't know where he had gone. They didn't know if they had gotten him or not. And then I was thinking too that the cup of joy at Jesus' first miracle. Who knew that he had turned the water to wine at that wedding? Only the servants knew. And then, like, the disciples. And then later, like, he reveals it in the Bible to everybody, you know. Like, but at the wedding, only the servants knew. And Paul was let down in a basket. But he was kind of hidden right in plain sight. A Pharisee out persecuting Christians, right? Hidden in plain sight. But he was let down in a basket. God had a plan. People were coming for him, and he wasn't there. Psalm 83, 1-3. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, the enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. And the King James says hidden ones. And it actually... the word means to hide. And it's by covering over, by implication, to hoard or reserve. So we're his hoarded ones. He's reserving us. He's hiding us. And these people that have taken crafty counsel against your people, against his hidden ones. And who's crafty? Like, Satan's crafty, right? The serpent was more subtle than any of the other creatures. He's crafty. And there's another verse that talks about his craftiness. Anyway, he's crafty. And we're his hidden ones. Psalm 32:7. You are my hiding place. We don't walk by emotions. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. By sight, Athalia is on the throne. By emotions, she just killed everybody, and you may be scared. But by faith, we raise up 7-year-old Joash as king, the rightful king. The natural man wants to hide from God, like Adam and Eve in the garden, you know? But the natural man, Peter, when he realized that Jesus was God, was like, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Like, the natural man can't handle it. He wants to hide from God. But the spiritual man wants to hide in God. We hide in God. But the spiritual man is the one who's humble, who's surrendered, and like knows that he's a sinful man, but knows that his sins have been paid for. And he hides in God. Psalm 30:26. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags, in the rocks. They're hiding in the rocks like us. Psalm 139:5-12. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I go from your presence? And then it lists all these different places you can try to go to, but you can't escape God. So God hides us, but we are never hidden from God. We're open. And was it Hebrews 4? Open before him. And we can't escape his love. We walk by faith, not by sight. The hidden things are hidden to the world, the flesh, and the devil, but they're not hidden from the spiritual person. This is 1 Corinthians 2:6-10. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Amen. So, like, that kind of goes back to the first verse. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. In the second verse, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. God reveals them to us through the Spirit. And that's where our hiding place is. It's not by sight. Let's pray. Lord, show us your glory. Please reveal supernatural things to us. We want to know you, Lord. We reckon that our old man is dead and our new man in Christ is alive and well. We worship you. If there's anyone here who wants to know God, simply receive the gift, the grace of God by faith. Just say to God, I receive salvation. I believe you died to pay for my sin. Lord, may we all walk by faith and experience your bounty and victory in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.